Meet me. Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Lil Nolan.
And this is episode 210.
210 is impressive.
That was unbelievably weak.
Terrible.
And you paused too long.
Yeah, well, I was laughing at Nolan being ridiculous and didn't realize it was
Take two. Take two.
Take 210. Right.
My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Lil Nolan.
And this is episode 210.
210.
There you
Woo!
Go.
Woo!
Better.
And Half-Life Alyx has been announced. It is an upcoming virtual reality first-person shooter. There's been a trailer that's been released with it. It is our first Half-Life game since 2007. It is a prequel to Half-Life 2. It happens in between Half-Life 1 and Half-Life 2. And it is not the long-awaited, long-memed Half-Life 3.
Correct.
How do we feel?
Bad. I think... I just think it was such a bad idea because of how much anticipation and meme status any Half-Life announcement has. When we get a real one, it's this. I don't have a problem with a VR in-between game. I think that's really cool, actually. Like, that's probably going to be really fun, and I would want to play that VR game. However, I just think it was a bad idea to do that before 3.
If they think that... VR is the future of games and they're trying to push more adoption or I don't even know, like see a shift there, which they're not. Like their goal is make money.
Sure.
But like if they were, they needed to go ahead and go all out and make Half-Life 3 and just let everybody hate that it's on VR and hope that it could swing some people over. As it is, I don't think there's enough momentum. I think the couple of people who already are doing VR because it's VR or they're into it will appreciate it. I'm sure it'll be fine. But it's kind of off the scope of sort of, I don't know, the main view of gaming because not enough VR adoption has happened yet.
Yeah, okay. And so I think you and I, Kenny, are thinking the same in the sense of I'm wondering if they are doing this because they want Half-Life 3, or they're at least entertaining the idea that Half-Life 3, there is going to be a Half-Life 3 at some point. But entertaining the idea that maybe that's going to be virtual reality. And they were too scared or too smart, I don't know what it is, to jump right into VR Half-Life 3. And so they're testing that out at least, getting the kinks out, if you would, with Alyx, fine-tuning that process before finally bringing us Half-Life 3.
I do not think they would make Half-Life 3 VR.
Really?
Really. I don't think they would. Maybe a component, maybe a DLC, or like have some sort of VR feature. You know, some games on like PC games have like you can use VR for it if you want. Yeah. Like for instance, Resident Evil 7, you can play that game. It's an FPS Resident Evil game, but you can do VR. Maybe they could do that, but no way would they make Half-Life 3 VR only.
Then why Alyx? Just because wanted to create a VR game and not Half-Life 3? Like, why not just create Half-Life 3?
Because I don't know that answer at all. But maybe they are trying to push VR sales. I can see that. Like, Half-Life 3 is so anticipated. If they wanted to make a business decision with a game, it's that one. So maybe y'all are right, but I just don't think so.
And that's why I'm surprised that they didn't. And so I don't know. I don't have as good a read on it as I would like to be on wild assumptions. Being in the Half-Life universe again would be fun if I, had VR, but it's not enough to push me.
And it sucks.
even dropping 3, I don't think they would get enough people to go out and buy a VR headset that didn't want one anyways for it to matter. And so I don't know.
Yeah, not enough people have VR at this point by any means, but I like that we're continuing to push the boundaries. The trailer looked really cool, but I agree with you guys. It's a weird feeling. It's like Half-Life, yay, not Half-Life 3. Okay, you know, and so you kind of just want to say to the developers, hey, slow your roll, back up, beep, beep, slow down, and let's reconsider.
That was...
Let me get that too, too.
Like in our retro game of the week, Roadrunners Death Valley Rally.
Meet me.
Overview. Roadrunners Death Valley Rally, which is one of the longer names of any video game we've played. Outside of what, Phantasy Star, four generations of Doom. That's massive. That's
I feel like we've played things that have like implied subtitles as part of the title that have probably been longer. It's a lot of words, but at least it's short and like alliterative and plays well on the tongue.
It's not a lot and short. It's either like Roadrunners Death Valley Rally. It does play well on the tongue. That feels really good on the tongue.
I have no mouth and I must scream is pretty long.
Yeah. How did that feel on the tongue?
Bad.
RRDVR is a 1992 Super Nintendo title that was developed by Icom Simulations and produced by Sunsoft. You know all of those guys.
I know Sunsoft. That's a familiar name at the beginning of games. It has like a little chime.
Yeah.
But they're not developers, though.
There has to be
a game that you played with for them if you have that association. Because they went out of business in like 95.
They made a lot of games. Or they published a lot of games.
They did make a lot. Like, I think, were they involved with Blaster Master? They were involved with some of the games that we played before.
Yeah, actually, I think you're right. Blaster Master and Waku Waku 7.
That's right. They may have done Myst as well. So this is a company that had done some games before. I'm not sure about Icom Simulations. Of course, they've done something. That's another company that's like they developed something else and then someone asked them to make a game. You know how we talked about a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Some company doing that. Well, you might see the title here, Death Valley Rally, and think that you're coming to play a racing game.
That's absolutely what I assumed it would be.
Yeah. Or at least a chase game where it's like you're trying, which in my mind was a racing game. You're just outpacing the coyote trying to chase you as the roadrunner.
I mean,
but that's not what you're getting here.
Technically, you're getting a racing game.
You're not getting a racing game.
Every time you finish a level, you do it by running across a checkered flag.
So really, honestly, every game that you start in one place and finish in another is a racing game.
Honestly, this is a shooter.
Life is a racing game, guys.
It's an arcade game.
This game is a side-scrolling... I'm going to throw up in my mouth. Is a side-scrolling platformer. I kind of don't want to say that because...
Yeah.
Because
why would it be a side-scrolling platformer?
Why?
Platformer question mark?
It is side-scrolling. We can agree with that. We can agree with that. And there are platforms.
Mm-hmm. And it is based on the cartoon.
It is based on the cartoon, which, by the way, I don't know if y'all didn't know, and I didn't know, and no one that is listening knew, but Roadrunner wasn't a full television show.
It was a skit as part of Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes, yeah, network or whatever they were. It was a series of shorts that it happened from, I don't know, something like the 70s all the way up through like early 2000s, but only a few shorts were released a year. There are only there's only 49 shorts of Roadrunner, and they're only 6 to 7 minutes long. I think they ended up getting a full length something, and so there's other things, but 49 shorts make up the full list of Roadrunner shows that you could watch.
You're right. I did not know that.
But to say that none of our viewers knew that either is absolutely and totally incorrect. As a retro gaming podcast, we're not just, I don't know, a bunch of
We're the police.
Millennials and Zoomers and whatever youngins are called these days.
Zoomer.
Like,
okay,
I
Zoomer?
Guarantee you there's people out there who are very familiar with the format of Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote.
I didn't realize that it wasn't its own show at all. I totally thought it was, and I liked it. But now that you say there are only a few shorts a year, it makes sense. I watched the same ones over and over and over and over and never thought twice about it.
Here's the thing. Even if you watch all 49, you're pretty much watching the same one over and over again. True. Because it is one shtick. And it is that Wile E. Coyote, a coyote, is hungrily chasing a roadrunner, which is a roadrunner. And
is that an animal?
Yeah, what? Roadrunner
of
and Coyote.
Of course it's an animal.
I bet no one that is listening to this knew
that,
though.
Either.
What? Okay, everybody should know that.
And I believe I did research. Those two real-life animals do live in the same ecosystem, and coyotes would eat roadrunners.
Oh,
so
they
we're
do?
We're factually accurate here, guys.
Like
don't
it.
Worry. That television show was kind of the same format over and over again, and it was the coyote chasing the roadrunner and a series of ludicrous events taking place in which the coyote never fully gets a hold of the roadrunner, which if you think about it is good because coyotes eat roadrunners. Like, if he gets that roadrunner, that show takes a massive turn for
it
the worst.
It gets dark. Yeah.
It gets dark
There's
very
probably
quick.
A spoof out there on YouTube of it or something.
Oh, yeah, probably so. But in this video game, it is that. You are the roadrunner being chased by the coyote through five different episodes, each of those episodes having three acts and then culminating in a boss battle with the coyote and some kind of machination of his to be able to capture the roadrunner. And each of the stages that you're playing follows the same format of the TV show. Some are actually even pretty much ripped entirely from an episode with the different hijinks of the coyote and
Acme
the escape method
stuff.
All of that.
That's one of the things I found most impressive about this game was how accurate it was to the show. Not only the look of it, which is spot on, and the sound, which is kind of the same. But the fact that they even took animation sequences and like game content from specific episodes of, you know, specific shorts that had aired and that people would have been familiar with instead of doing a totally new thing. I don't know. It just felt like it's such a classic that I'm glad they sort of paid homage to the fact that it is a classic and didn't try and like toy with the formula too much, although they did make it into a game and therefore toyed with the formula quite a bit.
Did either of you watch Looney Tunes growing up?
Heck yeah.
Oh yeah.
Quite a bit.
Favorite Looney Tunes character?
I don't know. I've never thought about it.
So I haven't
I'm not
going
to give you one on the spot.
Come on, here. You've got Elmer Fudd, Bugs Bunny. You've
no.
got.
I mean, it's got to be Bugs. Piglet. But I feel like I can't say that because everyone's favorite's Bugs Bunny.
If he genuinely is your favorite,
no.
you can say that.
He was
not
hilarious.
Everyone's favorite.
My favorite was Taz. Y'all remember Taz?
Oh,
Mini
as a
Taz.
Kid, that was my favorite for sure.
I didn't.
No,
like
I just
him.
Said that.
Well, I'm just recalling my childhood and accurately stating true information. I don't
no,
know
you
what
loved
you want me
Elmer.
To say.
You loved Elmer. All right.
Gameplay.
So we talked about this being a platformer in the overview, and it is. There are platforms you run on top of, and the idea behind you controlling Roadrunner is that you're very, very fast. Just like the cartoon, they wanted to be true to the concept, and so you're very fast. So think. I don't know, Sonic? Think Sonic the Hedgehog trying to go fast?
Just think about him about going fast and then stop thinking about him.
You're going too fast. So this came, you're platforming, yes. You were jumping and you're trying to land on platforms, which is questionable, and we can talk about that as a decision for this game in the first place, but that's what you're doing. But the physics of Roadrunner are so fast that you can't even control the character.
Are we going straight to physics?
I think
Do we want
to
talk about that first?
I think we have to because it's the only thing you experience when, like, as the first thing you notice when you turn the game on, for sure.
I think there's two main things here. It's physics or mechanics of how you're controlling Roadrunner, and then I think it's level design. Those are the two big ones in my mind.
Yeah, but, and you have small things in there with, like, some enemies and different enemy types and energy or whatever, but those are the two big things.
But and physics we can do first, but can we just say, like, is it a good idea, even if they got the physics right, is this a good idea to make this television short series a platformer?
No. Like, it was the style. That was the game type. That was the genre. That was the popping
that people
genre
were doing. Yeah.
Yeah, especially on SNES. And I would imagine it's one of the easier things to code and design compared to, I don't know, maybe it's not, but it was just popular, and so I think that's why they chose that formula, but absolutely not. It just doesn't fit the idea. It doesn't fit.
I think it could have been a platformer if the design was just, like, totally different. If it was more about puzzle solving and, you know, navigating and avoiding the traps that had been set for you, or intentionally, like,
so
manipulating,
like, when they take
the
out
so that they would backfire. And so it was more about, like, the spirit of the show, but not, like, the speed of the character, the humor and the, like, puzzle nature. I think you could have made a platformer, but they didn't do that. They went for speed chase goofiness.
Speed.
Right. And then tried to, like, still have you slow down and explore the level and find these flags and worry about all this side stuff that didn't feel like what the main mechanic that they gave you was letting you even do.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to argue once we get there that by the level design, they did not intend for you to go fast.
They didn't.
Like, they give you two things: go fast, but also don't, and you can't. And so we'll have to talk through that. But at first, you've got these controls that are not tight. They're very loose. It's as if Roadrunner is always on ice. You know, ice mechanics and platformers are in various games where you're just kind of sliding when you land. That's happening here. You're not sticking to anything. If you've got enough speed and then jump, I guess like a bird, you're hovering, flying through the air, but then sometimes you're waiting. If you watch my first play, the first time that I just kind of launched myself into the air, I kind of just hovered over where I hoped to land for a good half hour, waiting to come back down and land on the small platform. So not only are the mechanics on the ground icy, but in the air too, it's completely floaty. And so you feel like the majority of the time you have very little control over your character.
The momentum midair is literally insane. Like, it feels like you got a power up in a game that if you gain airborne momentum, it, like, kind of breaks the game and you get really good. But
it's the yellow cape in Mario, how you can kind of just, you know, 10. Sometimes if you get lucky, you get to fly across the entire stage.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you get unlucky, you kind of do that plummet thing into an enemy or a gap and you die.
Yeah. It's just always on, and you can't turn it off. And what I'm talking about when I say it is physics, which is not a pleasant gameplay experience. Let me just say that now.
And what makes it even worse is that with these loose physics and with the fact that they've given you this speed mechanic where theoretically you're trying to go through the levels quickly. In fact, I'll say they want you to go through the levels as quickly as possible. They give you a time bonus at the end.
Okay, so y'all disagree
power-ups
on that.
Right, and literal power-ups to, like, give you more speed boost, you know, the little seeds that you eat. But then when you're running fast, you have no possible way of seeing obstacles come up in time to react to them, partly because your reactions are so loose. You know, if it was tight, it almost has a, like, Battletoads feel where it's fast and it's difficult. But if you're on point, you can dodge things and move and keep going through the level. But it doesn't. And if they had just even zoomed the game out slightly wider where you could see things that were coming up and have a chance of avoiding them, it would have been maybe slightly more forgivable.
So you've got a very simple interface HUD that you're having to also worry about while platforming. And it's just very simply, you have your health meter, which is six hearts. And then you've got an energy meter that you can fill up well, that drains when you sprint, when you charge up, kind of like a sonic charge, and then you can refill it by pecking at piles of seed that you find throughout the stage. They're placed sparingly throughout the stages. And if that meter runs out, you can no longer go zoomy zoom on a dime. You have to build it up, kind of. And that's hard to do in this game because it's so broken up. And I think this will help those listening understand how weird this is. So when we're saying you got to go fast and you're Roadrunner and you're on the ground going right, this game's very much vertical. It's not like horizontal like yeah. It should be. You're going up and jumping, which is breaking up your speed constantly. So why even have a speed meter, right. An energy bar?
It makes things more difficult unless you've like completely learned the entire stage and you know when to use it to do the cape Mario cape thing to be able to get to the end of the stage. The first stage felt kind of good because it is just that left to right. But then you can see where things turned in my first play because I get to the farthest right that I can go pretty easily. But then I've got these road signs that are pointing me up and left. And I realize horribly that then after going all the way to the right, it wants me to go all the way to the left, go higher, and then go back all the way to the right, which just ends up being a lot of the stages here. And what that ends up being for me is that shuffle step with the D-pad, you know, where you're in the air and then it's left, right, left, right, left, right. So you can kind of just hover in place to try to land on these small platforms. Even on the ground, you're doing left, right, left, right, left, right to try to build momentum when you don't have charge. And there are times and levels where you might literally get stuck and have to die because you don't have enough momentum and you don't have any charge left to be able to get enough speed to go up a ramp and get to where you need to go.
Yeah. Dustin, you talked about trying to land on these platforms, and not only is the momentum weird and the physics weird, though you do adjust to it a little as you play more, but your character model, as soon as he jumps, has these tiny, skinny little bird legs, which is accurate. But they go super wide, like he's taking a leap
out.
Forward. Spread you know, eagle. Not like he's jumping up. And so, it's like midair splits. It's like forward and backward leg.
Show us.
And so, okay, it's kind of like this.
Oh my gosh, that was really you accurate. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Live from the NGP studios.
I'm really flexible, guys. What can I say? No. But because of that, your character model is super like narrow up and down and super wide, but you don't have any legs to see where you're landing. And so it even makes knowing how far up you need to go to like clear a platform to then be able to land on it unclear. It makes it unclear where the middle of your character is to actually aim something that you're going to land for. And just generally the look makes it really hard to, with the physics, makes it really hard to understand what's going on and how things are going to actually behave.
Can we do level design now? Because yes. I think that is the other grievous sin here, in that I guess one of the first things is you are in every stage being incessantly attacked by some kind of incarnation of the coyote.
And I'll say I appreciate – that's one aspect that I kind of appreciate, and it goes back to the accuracy thing that Kenny was talking about. Like – it was kind of pleasant to forget that, you know, coyote's after you and out of nowhere, he's swinging on like a wrecking ball and you have to dodge him.
Only seconds into the game when you start being attacked by him, and it doesn't end until you finally destroy him at the end of the game. And he's not bound by the level as much as you are. So on one stage, I think the first one, he's just coming at you with a fork and a knife, which is funny. But he's there within a second after starting the game. In another one, he's in this like bat suit that he's flying around the stage trying to attack you. In another one, he's in a wrecking ball. It's just
he's a hot air balloon. There's all kinds of things.
He's chasing after you. And if he hits you, he takes one of your health things away. And he's not the only thing that's chasing you, but he's the one that is coming after you nonstop every level. And so it doesn't give you time to pause. It doesn't give you time to think. It doesn't necessarily give you time to process what's my next move going to be. You've got to kind of be moving at all times so that you're not taking damage from him.
Right, which if the game was super reactive and had a really quick feel, would make it feel high intensity and, like you said, Sonic-esque. And yes, you would flow and jump and avoid him and keep moving, and it would be this sort of dance you had to do all the way through this level. But then these levels are designed to not allow you to do that. And not only do they not have, you know, fluid forward flow like we've always talked about, but it's just random things that don't make sense. Like, you'll be running along in front of a bunch of cactuses that are just background images of the level, and then suddenly a cactus will kill you. And, like, there's no way to know that they were going to be different. And tons of just really weird design choices in you know, especially in how the levels are set up, but just in kind of the basic mechanics that make you shake your head and just be like, who made this game?
So, in addition to Coyote always coming at you, and it's not constant, some levels it's more than others, but, you know, in the background every once in a while he takes a swing at you and you have to dodge it. You've got like other smaller enemies that are in theme kind of with the stage that you're playing. And I thought they were so pointless because there weren't many. They were littered throughout in just weird spots that felt forced. And I'm like, either do all Coyote or just all small enemies and make it feel more like a platformer. That was another part that just kind of made this not feel like a platformer. Just random enemy here and there. And it's like, okay, was that supposed to be scary or what was I supposed to do there?
They cause you to slow down, which that's the whole conundrum here is they give you the ability to go fast. They put tracks on the stage so that you can zoom and fly and all of that. But then they put so many obstacles in your way, not only with the enemies, but with the platforms we've mentioned. But I don't know if I've expressed to you how small some of these platforms are.
Like one by one wide.
Yeah.
Seriously.
when Roadrunner's legs extension is like four by four.
Yeah.
And so you to try to land on those small platforms and find what area of the Roadrunner's crotch you want to land on the platform, and then to ascend to the top and all of that, it's this big battle of like, you want me to go fast, but I'm punished for going fast.
Yep.
And it's completely frustrating. And then they're like, you know what? We need flagpoles. Put flagpoles everywhere. And these flagpoles, I don't even think they're checkpoints. Maybe they are, but it's what they mainly are is there's flagpoles littered throughout the stage. It doesn't do much for you except at the end of the level gives you bonus points for each flagpole you found. Yippee, that's the only thing.
Yeah, the bonus point mechanic, forced, no. And then the time attack thing, no, because you're not letting me go fast. And then we need upgrades. So there's an invincibility item you can grab for a little bit. And it's like, most of the time wasted because you're not taking – no one's swinging at you most of the time unless you run into one of those like scorpions or coyote. And I'm just like – all this just kind of feels like they threw in the ingredients and they just – they, you know, gave us whatever came out.
Absolutely. The fact that you had to find some of these flags especially, you know, that they were more difficult to get to or you had to kind of puzzle how to use the elements on the screen to get there, but that all it gave you was – bonus points and not something cool, you know, not a anvil to throw at the coyote or, I mean, pick your upgrade. Like there's a million things they could have picked on theme that could have worked that would have been something to look for or a reason to go to these places. But instead it's just like,
it's scripted at the end of the level.
You feel like you just want to get past the level so that you can, you know, move from running from the coyote to taking on the coyote and one of his little bosses that he's put together and throws at you.
Yes, at the end of each and every episode, you're given a boss battle, which is Wile E. Coyote in a certain contraption. So in the first episode, I believe he's in a catapult launcher and he's launching rocks at you. So you're having to avoid these boulders while, although he's in a different contraption, what you're doing for the most part is the same. You're finding the weak spot of the contraption and pecking away at it until it breaks and ends up damaging the coyote instead. So in the first one, you've got that catapult. It's launching these boulders at you. You're having to avoid the boulders while chomping at the weak spot of the catapult. But it can come over and slap you as well. There's a lot of cacti to damage you. I believe it's the hardest boss battle in the entire game.
Really?
Yes. Wow. The boss battles from there only get easier.
Yeah, I felt like the later ones were certainly easier than the first one. A couple of the later ones actually had kind of fun mechanics. I thought the train boss, where you were
my favorite,
jumping the bombs back into the little train, yes, was
you're
fun.
Pecking it back, yeah.
Yeah. Some of the others were kind of pleasant too. Or the robot where he was trying to like shove you into the ceiling or like drill at you and you had to avoid the platforms back and forth and tear it apart. Some of those were really fun. But yeah, that first boss was frustrating for me.
My favorite part of the game actually was the final boss. I thought it looked spectacular, and then I thought it was a really fun boss stage to play. It's the same mechanic. You've got certain pieces of the boss that you're chipping away, but in the final boss battle, it's this massive robotic head of Wily, and he's launching missiles at you. He's got different enemies trying to take you out, but you are there's multiple weaknesses instead of just one, and you're climbing up his neck and then his face to his cheeks to his ears finally, and taking out these various satellites and different parts of it. The boss battles, while they weren't easy, it made for at least some kind of intelligent gameplay in my mind.
Best part of the gameplay, in my opinion, like I felt like I was playing a different version of this game that was acceptable in my opinion. Like I thought all the boss fights were actually pretty fun, but felt very different than what the rest of the game had you believe it was about, you know?
Well, it's because you're not having to make the decision between do I go fast or do I go slow. It's just speed I need to be able to take out this boss.
Yes, which made more sense. Like, maybe not on paper, but in gameplay, it made more sense.
Aged.
All right, it's been a while since the show has made a new short or episode, so... for people to go back and watch the show, it's completely readily available, but it must have aged. They're no longer making them.
Yep.
Does that same thing apply to a video game that is connected so closely to a series that, I don't know, maybe a lot of modern gamers might not know much about?
What was the question again? Is that the same for the video game?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you think that it has a hurdle just inherently to overcome simply because
it's not on air anymore.
It's directly connected to a franchise that is no longer really a thing.
Yeah, and I'm glad you went there because I'm separating this from gameplay just for a second. I know we can't, and obviously I wouldn't, but let's just say the gameplay was great or something. The show's no longer relevant, sadly. It's only in the eyes of fans back then, or maybe someone that stumbles across old Looney Tunes stuff and it's like really appreciates the retro-ness of them. But because it's no longer on television, no one's going to look for this. No one's going to want it, and they're going to say, what in the world? What is this? Like, the charm will be lost on them. Like, the humor that really landed for me and was nostalgic, I don't know if that would work for someone modern coming into this.
See, I think today. They're totally... I think the video game and the cartoon are totally different vibes in how someone would receive them, coming at them even completely blind. Because the old classic cartoons are funny, are universally funny, understandable, aren't like culturally dependent. The humor just makes sense. I don't think those are ever going to age. I think anybody at any time could jump in, watch one of these animated segments, fully enjoy themselves, and just get it. And timeless in my mind. Like,
but do you think that for the game?
Right.
But I don't think that at all for the game.
Okay. And see, I could agree with you that I think it's an easier entry for modern gamers, viewers, whatever, to get to watch an episode of this show, a 6 to 7 minute episode, and enjoy the mess out of that, as opposed to coming to a video game, spending an hour or two on it and trying to get through it and enjoy that. Especially this one is what we're talking about here.
And then my follow-up question to that, now that we've answered that, was it ever necessary? Did we need a Roadrunner video game? That's always the question with things based on television / movies.
I think it's fine for them to make adaptations.
I do too.
I think they tried to be true to the original, which is laudable. I don't think they found a formula where the gameplay is fun enough on its own that, you know, that the classic elements of what this popular franchise was can carry it. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to make something people know and make it enjoyable, you have to have a good game there. And it just doesn't at all.
And here's the thing that's frustrating is it starts as though it does. The beginning, like, in my opinion, I'd love to know what you guys think about the graphics here, but I think that it looks spot on.
It's impressive.
It looks so good. The character models, even the spinny feet of the Roadrunner, the all of the different attempts of Wily to try to, like, in his different suits and in his inflatable, that's not what it's called, but in all of the different things that the coyote is in to try to attack the Roadrunner, all of those things look good and look like they're straight ripped from these shorts. Again, some of them are. And so the graphics to me look good. Even the beginning when it freezes and it gives you their fake Latin names.
That's what I was about to point out. Yep. Like, not only does it look good graphically, the presentation was on point. Yep. Like, they're, you know, it's following them like a scene and then it freeze frames and it does the names. I was like, okay, like, that's nice. I appreciated that.
Like, the theme is there, so I thought it looked good, and I was, I don't know if I was excited, but I was like, man, okay, they're really going to be faithful to the show, and then we get into just a mess of the gameplay, and we've had this before. We've had it where things, where, not Jurassic Park necessarily, but for example, other, like, television shows or movies, like Jurassic Park, like Home Improvement, I hate that I involved that, these other things,
that
they create a video game media out of it, and it's fine. We agree that, okay, you can do this, but there's got to be a good game there. And this is one of the examples where it looks exactly like it's supposed to look. And then they just gave us a trash heap fire of a game.
Yeah. It feels like the designers, the graphic designers worked on the game in a separate room, in a separate building, in a separate state than the, like, developers that worked on the physics engine. And even those developers worked in a different state than the level designers. And then they just put it together. And it looks amazing and it promising. And then you actually get the controller in your hand and you're like, oh, no.
And by different state, you mean that the level designers were actually unpaid high school interns who didn't actually want to be there.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't disrespect them that much. I just
don't think there was
no direction here.
It was bad level design. Even in some of the final levels, they do change. One of the things that I was frustrated about in my first play, I was like, is every level going to be the same desert? And
thankfully, no.
They do evolve it to a train, and then they evolve it into space. I think I kind of got that. I said in the first place, I was like, they need to take us to space. And I think they do bring Martian Marvin, is that his name?
Always.
Into it?
Almost.
And Marvin the Martian. There we go.
There you go.
And you've got these teleport things, but, like, even that is just the guys, the level design here. I've never played a platformer with worse level design, honestly. And then there's no password system, which means you've got to play this entire game in one sitting if you want to.
It's cool short enough that one doesn't bother me too much.
No. It's short enough if you know how to go from the start to the finish very quickly.
And if they didn't have the whole, like, bonus checkpoint collection system where you wanted to collect them all, then sure, I don't need one. But if you're trying to go for that, that's really frustrating.
And in later stages, it's very easy to get lost and turned around. And then you've got to find the exact hole to fall in or track to take to be able to get to where you need to get. It just becomes increasingly difficult the more that you play. There's no passwords. Graphics are good, but music is not that impressive. Yeah. And then with the level design, like we've already talked about, and the controls, man, this thing just... It wasn't a good game to begin with, but put some age on it and it just multiplies mm-hmm. the frustrations that you're going to have with this game tenfold.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. I want to be done with this faster than you guys. So Capcom did better than Sunsoft. This was a wannabe Sonic with a terrible level design and loose controls, and it was a bad game then, even a worse game now. Don't play this, although I did play it all the way through and beat it. Not because I enjoyed it, but because I felt like a glutton for punishment. Solidarity. This week.
I like how you went, you sped through your summary.
Ooh! Yeah. But I should have like sped through, stopped, and then had to start over, and then slowly went back and back and back and back and forth and back and forth. There we go. No.
No New Game Plus.
No New Game Plus. Kenny?
Yeah, Roadrunner's Death Valley Rally should have just been called Roadrunner's Death Valley.
Nice, dude. Hey, Kenny, nice.
I know. Well done.
So proud of you.
No need for a rally there. There was no racing, and it's the place that this classic cartoon went to become a video game but ended up dying. It's not good. Oof. We've said all the reasons why, and so I'll stay on Dustin's theme and keep it short. Certainly no New Game Plus for me.
Hey, Nolan.
Yeah?
Should it just be called Roadrunner's Death?
Death.
Oh!
Yeah, or just Road. So I agree and am as upset about how this game plays as my co-host. But look, it's frustrating to me because, yeah, it's an episodic short part of a greater cartoon. But because of that, I think this could have been like gold. I think they could have made such a cool game. And it's
so
got
much potential here.
So much potential. And some of the, I just think the charm and the delivery of the humor was all there and all correct and right. But the mechanics fought so hard against it that it makes it unplayable. Like just unenjoyable. It sucks on ice, literally, because that's what it feels like when you're playing it. And I'm disappointed that it's not better, but no way. I can't give it New Game Plus.
We are disappointed in you, Roadrunner's Death Valley Rally, and Bugs wouldn't be okay with this.
No.
Roadrunner's Death Valley Rally is not New Game Plus certified, but what did you think? We had, as always now, a lot right in. We're not going to be able to read them all, but I will try to shout out as many as possible. Wacko Contender said, "This is a game that has a lot of nostalgia for me. My friend owned it, and we thought it was a fun game, but tough. I always enjoyed the look of the game and the concept. Playing it now, and I get the grumbles I read in Discord. At first, it is all over the place. However, once you settle down, there's a certain charm to it. It's not for everyone, and I get that, but I think it's a fun game once you get a feel for it." And I would disagree probably with just one thing there. He said it's not for everyone. The only thing I would change there is everyone to anyone.
Yeah, there's I think some rose-colored glasses there if he's got some nostalgia attached to this game.
Yeah.
Sure, I get that you could find fun in it. But why when you have other games to choose from?
But why? Thank you, Wacko. Greg said, I think it was Greg's first time writing in, "Despite being a fan of the show as a child, I have never heard of this game until today. Upon loading up the game, you're greeted with an intro that captures the spirit of the cartoon well. But that's where my praise ends. The controls feel sluggish, and trying to land basic jumps feels more of a challenge than they should, which isn't helped with the poor level design. The sound is awful, with music being an atonal mess of notes with poor quality sound design. At least Roadrunner's iconic meep sounds good. Definitely not NGP for me."
It's beep. Dustin corrected me.
Yeah, but I was correcting you. I'm just saying that they say that it's beep, although yes, it sounds like
they
meep.
Are wrong and they created it.
I mean,
no, I think I like the meeps and all of the tonally relevant things they could have put in there, like the fat lady coming out to sing when you,
that was really cool.
Yeah, like all of the charm is just there for me. It's just
Cecil said, you ever played Duck Amuck?
No.
It was a Nintendo DS game based on the legendary Daffy Duck cartoon of the same name as a WarioWare-esque minigame collection. Ooh. And it was all right. The minigames were nothing really imaginative, and the delivery was stilted at points, but there was still a few good twists on the classic jokes, and it was a novelty to see such a famous cartoon in a new medium. Anyway, Roadrunner Indy 500 or whatever is a boring old Sonic-like platformer with decent art and sound effects but painfully floaty controls, and the best you can say about it is that the humor does get a chuckle out of you, but otherwise is just a big old whatever of a game.
So I thought they were about to make the comparison, or they were about to say this game should have been an anthology game like WarioWare or that other game they were talking about. I'm interested to know what everyone thinks this game should have been. You think a racing game, right, Dustin?
Yeah, I think if you just change it from this vertical nonsense that they did and tried to create these platformer stages,
yeah.
If you could, and maybe you even have that basic charm. And so I think keep a lot of what it was, even put enemies in your path, but give you the ability to run peck through them or jump over them while the coyote's chasing you and all of that. Like, I think there's a game there. I really do think there's a game there, but turn it into this vertical left and right platformer is with the floaty control is just nonsense. And then we had some more write in. Garlisle, as always, very quickly, he said, the momentum, instant acceleration, and wall climbing almost feels like a rudimentary version of a modern platformer like Dust Force or N+. But this is not those games. And honestly, just spend your time with them instead. Pat X 1981 said, or he commented on the floaty jump physics as well, the unintuitive level design, before concluding that when compared to other releases in 1992 like Dino City or Magical Quest, I can't recommend this game to anyone who is looking for an enjoyable platformer on the Super Nintendo. And then Brojim, he said, this game is really faithful to the coyote theme, and that the plan they had for this game failed spectacularly. Nice. When I realized the amount of time and effort I was going to have to pump into the second boss fight, I just decided to beat Live-A-Live instead.
Everyone's commentary is just talking about how great other games are that have nothing to do with this game.
Which is how it's I so felt this funny. Week. I really wanted to be playing another game, but for some reason I punished myself and went through the entire thing. Thank you guys for sending in your thoughts on the Retro Game of the Week. We'd always love to include your commentary as a part of our show. Send it to ngppodcast@gmail.com or just submit it in our Discord. We'd love to include it on our episode next week as we play the game that we're about to randomly select from our Retro Master list, which I promise you, no matter what, is going to be better than Roadrunner's Death.
That's a really bold promise.
No, that's not
a good chance. I am certain there are worse games than this one on the Retro Master list.
And we played games worse, but they're going to be few and far in between. Randomizing, snow. We're staying on the same system, the NES.
That's good news.
Wrong. That's a different system.
We're
moving to the precursor to the Super Nintendo, and we're playing a game on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Still good.
It is an action platformer.
Oh, is it?
We'll see.
It's NES. There's a lot of them.
And the main character is an animal. So we're not moving far. The thing that gives me hope here is that it was developed and published by a company called Konami.
Yay. Okay.
And it is a video game called Bucky O'Hare.
Is that based on a TV show?
I think a comic book series.
So that based on the name, I'm assuming it's about a...
Oh, God.
No.
What?
You don't even know.
I
don't know.
I was trying to depict what animal would be the most ridiculous to say there, but okay.
We all know that this is a green rabbit with a laser gun in a spacesuit.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's very similar to the Mega Man series of games. You're going through different planets, fire, ice, jungle, mechanical, where you get four crew members and use their powers to rescue others. So that's...
I like that description.
Yeah, that's promising.
Doesn't that sound kind of interesting?
It's just too similar to what we just played.
Right. That's where it's a little sore. But some people are going to know about this. I've heard about it before, so I'm sure there's some big fans out there. But find a copy of Bucky O'Hare and play it along with us this week.
Join us in Discord, please. You can do that by going to ngppodcast.com, admiring how great our website is, and clicking on Join Us in Discord. We'll see you there.
Big thanks to all of you who support us on an ongoing basis on patreon.com. Your patronage means the world to us, especially to our producer-level supporters. Anton and Ben, Dear Baby, Corey, Maxima, Zach, Zion, and our wonderful director, Garlisle. You guys are awesome. Also a big shout out to Cecil, who not only wrote in this week, but also upped his patronage a little bit.
Hey,
so Cecil, thank you so much for showing your support for Retro Gaming and the New Game Plus podcast.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast, YouTube at New Game Plus Podcast. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice and subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. While you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Bucky O'Hare. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm about to go on a fancy date.
And this has been Beep Beep New Game Plus.
That's all, folks.
Meep. Oh, nice, Kenny. That's all, folks. Honk, honk.